love that song. It always reminds me of where Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm going to make a few announcements from our men's business meeting. I encourage our men, if you were there, to make sure that I make all the ones that we did. First of all, we had a very, very nice meeting after services this morning. Barry is getting us lined up to begin a lot of outreach programs here in our community to help strengthen the church. If you were able to attend that meeting right after services this morning, I hope some of you signed up for some of those things. And if not, if you'll get up with me or Barry or one of the others that were involved in that, there are other things that I know you're going to be excited about. And I think that will be something that's very, very good. First of all, my sinuses have not been working this year, and I know you notice it every time I lead singing. If you will excuse me, if the ladies will continue to sing those high notes, I would like to continue leading singing. I got up with Doug, though, today. I said, Doug, it's just hard to teach a Bible class and then lead singing and then preach, and I offered him his choice of the three, but he decided he would go ahead and turn those down. But I did want to make mention of that. We also had a very, very enjoyable, a very enlightening discussion about future workshops, future gospel meetings, and other things. We have discussed, and we're going to be thinking about some community-wide things that we would like to do away from the building, so it would be more attractive to some people to come to a community gathering in a community place rather than here. Really, really good ideas. If you have any ideas about a future workshop, I think the consensus of the men was, at least this year, we would rather, instead of going with a straight gospel meeting, try to get a workshop. You remember we've had those with Kevin Hunt and Stafford North way, way long time ago. But if you can think of a theme or an idea for a workshop or a seminar, whatever we want to call it, please get with me or any of the men from the men's business team, and we would like to entertain that. The community function just really sounds appealing to all of us. Also, we had some discussion about the marquee. We never have had any direction, at least in the time that I've been here, about the marquee. We had very agreeable discussions. Some like the scriptures, which all of us like the scriptures. Some like the little catchy biblical-based sayings. All of us like that. So we're going to be working a little bit more closely on that in the future. Barry and I don't know if we volunteered or if we just got that, but Barry and I, and of course Caleb, are going to be working on that sign. If you know of a good scripture, we're going to go with the 23rd Psalm, I think, even tonight, and put just bits and pieces of the 23rd Psalm, so it'll take a few weeks to cover it all. Or if you do know a good biblical, moral, saying, catchy. It has to be short enough so that people, when they turn on Half League and head back this way, they can see it, read it, before they crash into some car at the red light up here. Please write that down. Please write it down and give it either to Barry or me or Caleb, and we will take care of that. Also, I'm sure most of you realize that we're live streaming on Facebook. Sherry has been recording that for a while. I hope she's not recording it right now. I told her to delay. Okay, good. I told her to delay. I found out, though, you have to be on Facebook. I also found out I'm the only person in Calhoun County who's not on Facebook. So you need to, all right, me and Walter. So you'll need to get with Sherry, and I hope she will friend us. Isn't that the terminology? I hope she will friend us. We had 76 computers watching our live stream just a couple of weeks ago. That is outreach that we've never been able to do that before. We had, I guess it was live stream in Singapore. Some of my friends, I told them about it. They're on Facebook. They watched it. Canada watched it. Other places watched it. It is just an outreach that we cannot pass up. It's 21st century, so I don't know if it's five up and two down or one down, whatever that is. It's 21st century, so that leaves some of us out, but we can still promote it, and that's what we're going to do. So we'll get up with Sherry and get the web page, the Facebook site. You'll need to be friended on that. She has control of the content. Barry's an admin also on that, so they'll certainly take care of that. And then there are some future opportunities. Barry knows another Church of Christ website that will carry these live streams, but Facebook is in, you know, me and Walter, we're the only ones that don't do it. So we'll be doing that. Please promote that. But let me also add this, and we discussed this. That doesn't mean we don't need to come to church, because sitting at home watching our computer, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So we have to be here to fellowship. We have to be here to partake of the Lord's Supper. But if there's an illness or you know someone out of town, Ken was making mention, had he thought of it or known about it, he missed three Sundays. He would have loved to have watched that while he was there. Once again, Barry is working on some various concepts that will be, I think, very, 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 very good in the future. So please take full advantage of that. And I believe that's all that I have. Do our men, can you think of anything else that we talked about that I need to mention now? Okay, Sherry. Our lesson is going to come from John chapter 2. So I encourage you to turn to John 2 or turn your device to John 2. We'll be looking at a story that is recorded here. It's the story of Jesus' first recorded miracle. I'm assuming it is his first miracle. Maybe he did other miracles, but this is the first one that was recorded. Now, he had already started his ministry. He had already chosen at least some, if not all, of his disciples, and they're invited to a marriage feast in Cana, and his first mighty miracle was turning water into wine. Now, as you look at your device or as you scan down through John chapter 2, let me tell the story really in narrative form. Okay, Jesus, his mother, the disciples were all invited to a wedding. The wedding took place in a town called Cana of Galilee. Cana of Galilee was about 9 or 10 miles north of Nazareth, and that's where Jesus was living at the time. Now, a wedding in the first century is much like a wedding today. It is a festive occasion. People come from all over in order to give encouragement and love and appreciation for this couple that is about to start a new life together. But unlike weddings today, a wedding in the first century lasted for an entire week. Now, it was come and go, but it lasted for an entire week. So by that means they really wanted a big turnout. So dozens, perhaps hundreds of people had come during the week. It was come and go. Now, everyone in the community was expected to be there. Everyone in the area was expected to be there. In fact, we can find this in Jesus' parable. If you rejected an invitation to a wedding feast, that was really a no-no. So there are perhaps hundreds of people now that have attended this wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Mary, Jesus, Jesus's disciples were there. And the day that Jesus and his traveling group were there, a very, very embarrassing thing happened. They ran out of refreshment. That's the way I want to term it. They ran out of refreshment. And brethren, that could have ruined the entire affair. That could have been a black mark on that family, that couple's life, the rest of their lives. I remember one time when I was a youth director in Lindale, there in Houston. We decided to host all the parents to a spaghetti supper. So we worked on this. We made assignments. This person was to bring the tea and the coffee and the salad dressing and the croutons and the spaghetti sauce and probably other things. But we had it all prepared. And then Every parent showed up and everyone was in such a good mood. And we started feeding these parents. And the teenagers were back there. They were serving the parents of this spaghetti dinner. And about halfway through the line, we ran out of spaghetti. We had plenty of spaghetti sauce, plenty of salad, bread, the other things. We ran out of spaghetti. And you know, those loving parents didn't miss a beat. No one said a thing. They would come up and just get a little scoop of spaghetti sauce with their salad, and they went about their business. But this could have ruined this wedding. That could have ruined the reputation of the bride and the groom, their family, his family, her family, all of these for years and years. Now let me make a few points. We'll get back to the story. I tried to give you all the pertinent facts, but really these facts are all interchangeable. It happened to take place at Cana of Galilee, but it could have taken place anywhere. It happened to be a wedding, but it doesn't matter that it was a wedding. It could have been something else. They ran out of refreshment, but it could have been something else that potentially could ruin the wedding. Mary was there, but that was insignificant. The disciples were there. That was insignificant. But it was significant that Jesus was there. That's the one item that has to be part of this scenario story. Because there is a problem, and Jesus addresses the problem. Anytime there's a problem, Jesus can address the problem. Look at verse 3, John 2, verse 3. Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine." Now, brethren, I grew up with a sweet, loving, kind mother. But I could always read into her statement what she really meant. And Jesus could read right into Mary's statement what she really meant. What she was really saying is, "Jesus, they've run out of wine. Take care of it." And Jesus realized that because he said, "Woman, what is this occasion? What does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." In other words, it was not time for him to start performing these mighty works and these miracles. So it was not his time. Another pause. I remember years ago in Palacios, I was teaching a Bible class on this particular subject. And one of the ladies said, "Was Jesus being rude when he called his mother woman?" Well, that got me to thinking. Every commentator I found said, no, he was not being rude. That was just a customary way to refer to a woman. I knew a preacher in Port Lavaca one time that referred to the ladies as girls. He said, "How are you girls doing?" It was me, if you didn't know it. It was me. But anyway, he didn't mean anything rude by that. Jesus is simply wanting her to know that's none of our business. That has nothing to do with you. That has nothing to do with me. It's just none of our business. The brethren, making application today, we are Jesus' business. We are his business. And just like today, then compassion took over. And he realized that though it was not time to start performing miracles, though it was not his concern or his mother's concern, he still wanted to take care of the situation because of his compassion. Brethren, of all the traits that Jesus displayed in his life, the one we must emulate right up there with the top ones is compassion. We have to be people of compassion. And now we continue with the narrative. Jesus decided he would take over. He would take care of this problem. He got the staff to get 6 really big water pots or jars. The commentators say these were big. These were not little gallon or 2 gallon. These were great big water pots. He had them filled up with water, and then he changed the water into wine. Very simple story and a world of application. Application number one. Jesus took care of the problem. If Jesus had not taken care of the problem would not have been taken care of. Mary couldn't take care of the problem. The disciples couldn't take care of it. The bride and groom, their parents could not take care of it. Only Jesus could take care of the problem. Brethren, there are some problems in our lives that only Jesus can take care of. Most of you know I use Dr. Timu as my doctor. I hope I never have to use another doctor. She has my complete confidence. She has never diagnosed anything with me that was inaccurate. But some things are out of her league. And this was one of those things. There are some problems. Listen to me. There are some problems that only Jesus can take care of. For instance, salvation. Only Jesus can take care of our salvation. Let me read three verses. Acts 4 verse 12. I used this twice this morning. We should have it memorized. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. From my favorite text, John 14. First of all, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where Jesus is, we can be. And that is in heaven. And then verse 6. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is life. And we can't get there without him. So Jesus alone can take care of salvation. Jesus alone can take care of our sins. When Peter was preaching that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, AD 33, he was asked by those penitent Jews, and let me paraphrase, you've convinced us of our guilt. We played a part in Jesus' murder. How can we get rid of that stain that's on our soul and in our mind and on our heart? And Peter told them how to do it. First of all, you turn away from it. Repent. And then you start over. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Maybe Paul was even writing about that later. In Colossians 1 verse 14, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Let me give you an Old Testament example and a New Testament example. In Isaiah 38, we're told about good King Hezekiah, one of the few good kings of that day. Good King Hezekiah got very, very sick, sick to the point of death, and probably he thought, with the limited medicinal ability that the doctors had, he was probably going to die. But he didn't give up. Listen to me. He didn't give up. He prayed. And God took care of his problems. In Acts chapter 12, Peter had a problem. He was arrested for the crime of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ publicly. He was thrown into prison. Now, the congregation could have given up. But instead, they prayed earnestly for Peter, and God took care of that situation. Now, God does not always take care of situations that directly, but he still will take care of our problems. Sometimes, God gives us the privilege of working with him in taking care of problems. Sometimes God wants us to do something. There are problems. He wants us to do something. I believe with all of my heart he will open the door, but he wants us to walk through. No matter what the problem is, God can help us solve it. Now in John 2, Jesus took care of this problem directly. In Luke 5, though, and elsewhere, Jesus takes care of the problem, but not so directly. This is when Peter had fished all night and hadn't caught a thing. I have to look over at Mike to see if he's grinning. Fished all night, hadn't caught a thing. Jesus could have taken care of that problem directly. He could have just miraculously filled Peter's ice chest with fish. But he didn't. He let Peter work with him in solving this problem. He wanted Peter to have the privilege of working with him. He said, Peter, I want you to help me. I want you to let down your nets. And he did. He did his part. I want you to do your part. And he did. He did his part. And the problem was solved. And then other times, God uses brethren or friends to help with our problems. My favorite day in Vacation Bible School last year was the day we talked about the man who was paralyzed and he had four friends. And you remember, they wanted to get him to Jesus. They had faith that if they got him to Jesus, he could be healed. And the man obviously had faith that Jesus could heal him. They took him to the house where Jesus was. It was running over with people. They couldn't get in. They certainly couldn't get that bed in there. So what did they do? They opened up the ceiling of the house and let their friends down. The friends had the privilege of helping Jesus heal that man. In fact, Jesus said their faith is what helped in this situation. Now, in our text, Jesus took a hopeless situation and filled it with hope. They needed refreshment. He took care of that. But most of the time, the situation is much more internal than it is external. Most of the time, he takes the hopelessness of our lives or someone else's lives and he fills them with hope. Now, I wanted to preach this sermon on a Sunday night because I want to give you a background to this sermon, and I normally don't do that. A few weeks ago, a few months ago, I've lost track of time. I had really allowed myself to become despondent and distressed. And I decided, I remember one time someone saying, when that takes you, sit down and write a letter to yourself. Just write a letter to yourself. Tell yourself what you're going through. And that's what I did. And so let's share with me my letter. Are you struggling with problems that seem like they're out of control? So was I. Are your problems health related, family related, friend related, self related? All of us go through that. But all of us know what it's like. I think, though we have a tremendous amount of illness in the congregation, I think most of our problems are emotional. And since they're emotional, we try to hide them. And that's probably the worst thing to do. We need to share those problems. You remember what Paul said? When somebody tells a funny joke, we all laugh together. But when somebody's hurting, we all cry together. It's easy to laugh together, but crying together actually is more important. And what I finally decided in that letter is, God wants to help me, but he wants me to help myself. And so I did. And I prayed, and I prepared a sermon, and I shared the sermon with you, and I hope it helps you nearly as much as it helped me. I certainly do. Perhaps tonight there are some who need to respond to the Lord's invitation. We didn't talk about God's plan of salvation. We really didn't talk about anything except allowing Jesus to take care of our problems. So if anyone for any reason needs to come, won't you do so as we stand together and as we sing.